Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
This morning I read from Psalms 96, the passage that talks about worshiping God in the beauty of holiness, or in holy array. I talked this morning about the clothes of the priesthood, the clothes of Aaron being the background to emphasize the importance of holiness as pictured and the beauty of it as the priestly robes that Aaron wore. But we found that we do not approach God based upon outward attire, but rather inward attitudes of heart, and that we are to be dressed in spiritual clothing. And I read from Colossians chapter 3 a number of verses pointing out the things that we were to put off as well as the clothes we are to put on. Tonight, I want to talk about the work of a priest. I mentioned this morning that there are three fundamental principles that are necessary in order for one to enjoy the redemption that God has provided. First of all, there is the price, and that involves sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of bulls and goats. Under the New Testament, it's the blood of Christ. Then there is the priest. Priesthood is necessary if man is to approach God. There must be the one to offer the sacrifice. And, of course, Christ is our high priest, and every Christian is a common priest. And then there's the place. In the Old Testament, it had to be at the door of the tabernacle or the temple. That is, beginning with the Jewish system. When Adam sinned, the heavenly was right outside the Garden of Eden. Then later it came to be at the place of the altar, as indicated by Abraham and by Jacob. With the institution of Jewish system, it was the tabernacle and the temple. Read Leviticus 17 and 18 and 1 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. And then in the New Testament, it's in Christ. That little phrase, in Christ, tells us the place where we as priests are to, under Christ our high priest, function as priests in the service of God. Now, I want to talk especially tonight about the work of priests. Every single Christian is a priest. And I'm not sure that we realize the meaning and significance of that. I think it's unfortunate that due to the false idea of priesthood by the denominational world, and having the idea that you have to go through some human priest, it has led us to ignore and stay away from what the Bible really teaches about priesthood. Every believer is a priest, and the Bible talks about the priesthood of believers. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, and that in relationship to the Word. Let me read again from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Listen. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. One of the prime work of a priest was that of offering sacrifice. Go back and read the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus is the priestly book. The book of Leviticus involved the sacrifices and the service of the priesthood in relationship to the tabernacle. And therefore, the book of Leviticus gives us a background in understanding the meaning of priesthood in the New Testament. But just as we do not wear the robes like Aaron did in order to serve as priest unto God, neither do we offer animal sacrifice. This passage says we offer spiritual sacrifice. A priest without a sacrifice would be a priest without anything to do. You cannot conceive of the priest of the Old Testament having any kind of work to do that did not include the offering of sacrifices. That is basic to their work. That being true, since every Christian is a priest, then the very nature of my Christianity involves spiritual sacrifices. Let me ask you, have you offered yours today? Do you know what they are? Have you ever thought about it? I suspect that many of us have at least some of us have not thought about the fact that we are priests, and that as priests it's necessary for us to offer sacrifices, and then thought about what our sacrifices are. And so tonight I want to talk about the work of priesthood in relationship to the offering of sacrifice. I want to read some passages that call attention to this very thing. For example, a very familiar passage, one that you've heard quoted over and over again, Romans 12:1. Listen to it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now that's priestly work. You see, that's contrasted with the sacrifice of the Old Testament, where they offered animal sacrifices. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. And he says, which is wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The margin, American Standard Version says, which is your spiritual service. And that's what it is. That's what he's talking about. And I think the word spiritual there really is a better word, because it denotes the nature of the sacrifice. Reasonable service has to do with the reason of the mind. And it's through the mind that spiritual activities are carried on. Now, how then do we offer our bodies as living sacrifices unto God? Well, the Roman letter will tell us. Turn with me back to chapter 6. Let's read some verses. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now mark it. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Now look at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. But as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? But the end of those things are death. But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now look at the emphasis that's given in that. How am I to use the members of my body? I am to use them as instruments of righteousness. And thereby, the body is to be presented as a living sacrifice. It is to be used in the service of God. My ears are to be used in listening to God and listening to the cries and the needs of humanity. My eyes are to be used in seeing the opportunities that are mine and in studying the Word of God. My tongue is to be used in order that I might talk about His Word, and so on. But let me read another passage to you. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look at some verses, and you'll see again the same emphasis. Notice, beginning in verse 1, Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now listen to these verses. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, because our battle is a spiritual battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Look at that passage. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now mark it. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that's my spiritual sacrifice set forth in Romans 12. No wonder Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, said, I buffet my body and bring it under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I myself am a castaway. The body seeks to use the appeals of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and so on, to lead us away from God and to lead us into sin. And therefore, as the mind is renewed, as Romans 12 and 2 says, as the mind is renewed from day to day, as I study the Bible and apply these to my life and keep my body in subjection to the inward man, the spiritual man, and then yield the instruments of my body in the service of God, I am offering unto God sacrifices that are acceptable. Did you realize that as you keep the body in check and do not allow the lust of the flesh to run riot and maintain the spiritual attitude and disposition of mind, then live righteously, that as you do that from day to day, you're offering a spiritual sacrifice. Every time you face a temptation and the lust of the flesh cry out for you to submit to and give over to things that are wrong, and in the strength of God and the power of God and the grace of God and the knowledge of the Word of God, that temptation is overcome and resisted, you are offering unto God a spiritual sacrifice. You won a battle. And in so doing, as a priest unto God, you have engaged in priestly service and have rendered a sacrifice unto God. But again, turn with me now to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Let me read two verses from Hebrews 13. Listen. Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Thanksgiving is a spiritual sacrifice. Let me turn back to the book of Leviticus, and if you have your Old Testament, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 7. Let me begin reading in verse 12 of Leviticus 7. This is the background of the sacrifice that is described in Hebrews 13. In the Old Testament, of course, it was different, but this gives us a picture of what's involved. Beginning in verse 11 of Leviticus 7, I read, and this is the law of sacrifice. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer unto the Lord. Now mark. And if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering. And of it he shall offer one out of his whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkle the blood of the peace offering. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it's offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. And so there then is the law of the peace offering, which involves thanksgiving. The idea is that as this offering was engaged in, the peace offering, it suggested the fact and reminded them the fact they were at peace between themselves and God. And realizing that the mediation provided through this sacrifice and the priesthood brought to them peace with God, as provided in the Old Testament, it produced within them an attitude of thanksgiving. And thereby they offered unto God that praise and thanksgiving. Have you, as a priest, offered your sacrifice of thanksgiving today? Have you bowed before your God, thankful of the peace that exists between you and God and in your soul, through the sacrifice of Christ as our Savior, and through His atoning blood, and on bended knees and out of a heart full of gratitude, said, Lord, I thank Thee for what Thou hast done, that today there's peace in my heart and in my soul. That's thanksgiving. That's a spiritual sacrifice. I'm afraid too many times we do not realize the importance of thankfulness, and the reason we do not, we lack an appreciation for what the Lord has done for us. But again, let me read the next verse. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. When you have an opportunity to do good and turn that down, did you know that as a priest you are refusing to offer a spiritual sacrifice to God? Suppose on the Old Testament, the time, the day, and the occasion had come for the priest to offer a sacrifice unto God, and he had just said, well, I don't believe I'll do that today. I have something else I want to do. There are other things that I'm interested in. There's something else that I would like to engage in. How do you think God would have reacted toward that? We know. You see, without understanding what it means to be a priest, it leaves us without a sense of responsibility. Suppose whenever it came time for Christ to go to the cross, He had said, I believe I have something else I want to do today, and I believe I'll go in another direction. What do you think would have happened? He would never have become our high priest. He came into the world to fulfill a priestly mission and offer a priestly sacrifice. And thereby, I should think about the opportunities that are presented to me to do good. I mentioned, what is a priest without a sacrifice? Thereby, he said, to fail to communicate and to do good is to fail to offer our spiritual sacrifice. When you go to visit the sick, did you know that you are rendering priestly service and sacrifice unto God? When you go to talk about to a backslider, did you know that you are rendering priestly service unto God? You see, that places things in a different light. When I understand that I am a priest and I am to serve as a priest, and then opportunities are presented unto me, and I am conscious of the fact this is my sacrifice to offer unto God as a spiritual sacrifice, and I cannot then just say, well, I believe I'll let that go. I'll think about that twice. And that's what we need to do. But not only that, let me read these verses to you now from Luke 18. Beginning in verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Here is a picture of the early church suffering through the persecution of the Judaism that was antagonism toward the church and tried to destroy. And that's the picture that we have. Turn with me now to the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is written to the churches that were going through that kind of suffering. But I want you to look with me now at chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now mark it. And another angel came and stood at an altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sing. And then it goes ahead and tells about the judgments that began to be brought upon the Jewish nation. And, of course, until finally the Roman government overran it and destroyed it. Which is a picture of the final judgment, of course. But I want you to notice. Here were these, if you go back early in the book, there were those that were under the altar crying out and saying, O Lord, how long? How the persecution. That's what Luke 18 says. Now then, you have the picture of these early Christians on bended knees with their prayers going up before God as incense, a spiritual sacrifice. And out of that, as Luke 18 said, God was long-suffering, waiting and giving them the opportunity to turn from and cease persecuting his people. And finally, when it continued to become worse and worse, and they refused to recognize the judgments of God that was being brought upon them, finally the prayer went up before the throne of God as incense, and there came the fall of the Jewish state. God avenging his elect, as they cried out day and night, and their prayers ascended up before him as incense. Turn with me to Psalm 141, and let me read some of the verses from Psalm 141. Listen to it. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Now, here's a saint that's in trouble. Here's a saint that's having difficulty. And there is the cry and the prayer that's going up. Now listen, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now that's the background, the burning of incense in the Old Testament, and the background of Revelation 8, from which I read a while ago, where they literally burned the incense, and that sweet-smelling incense went up unto God. It ascended as a prayer and a plea and a cry unto God. And Revelation 8 said God heard that. And he had been holding back the angel of judgment. And he turned them loose and said, it's time for the trumpet to sound. Look again. Verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their advantage. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness. Let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamity. Read the rest of the psalm, and you can see what he says. I ask you, have you offered your spiritual sacrifice today? Have you gone apart somewhere and on bended knee prayed to God? Think about God's people through scattered in various areas of the world tonight where they're being persecuted and mistreated. Think about being encouraged. Can they not pray as these did, in, as Jesus said in Luke 18, and as described in Revelation 8? And as the psalmist did in Psalm 141, and God said, that the pride of his saint that goes up to be brought when he pleads to get out from under the mistreatment and the persecution of those that would try to turn him away from the truth and the faith of the gospel of Christ, to make him give it up, that when he pleads, that prayer goes up as incense to his throne. And unless changes are made, then there comes a time when God in his sovereign right and control of the world brings about judgment on men that would mistreat his people. Think about many places where the gospel is rejected by people and despised, and where there are people that are trying to serve God, they're being mistreated in so many ways. But also think about the fact that when I bow before God in prayer, that my prayer goes up to God as incense. I ask you, as a priest, have you offered your spiritual sacrifice today? Has today been a prayerless day in your life? Have you taken the time to pray today? That's priestly work. More things are wrought by prayer than this world will ever know. Have I taken the time today to pray for the welfare of the church here at East Gadsden? Have I, as a priest, sent up incense to the throne of God, pleading in behalf of the purity and the holiness and the welfare and the growth and the progress of the church here at East Gadsden? Have I prayed for a world that's lost, without God and without hope, that God would help us to get the gospel to them so that they could hear, at least have the opportunity to know and the responsibility to rest on them? Think about the number of ways, the opportunities that we've had to pray. But finally, one other passage that I want to read. Turn with me now to the Philippian letter. There are two in Philippians, but I'm going to read only one of them. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul talks about the interest and spiritual sacrifice in trying to convert the lost. Listen to what he says in verse 17, and I'm just going to read the verse without making any comment, because there's one other I want to mention. Verse 17, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith," there it is. Paul was offering himself as a sacrifice and as a service in seeking to save a world that was lost. Have I offered that kind of sacrifice? And am I offering that kind of sacrifice? But now, leaving that without more comment, turn with me now to chapter 4 and verse 18. Let me call attention to this one. Listen to it. "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, a market, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God." Read the chapter. The church at Philippi had sent a contribution to Paul. And Paul said that that money that they had sent to him, that contribution that they had given, had gone up before God as a spiritual sacrifice and as a sweet-smelling odor, that is, of incense, just as the prayers. Did you know that when you dropped your money in the collection plate today, that you was engaging in priestly work? You was offering a spiritual sacrifice. You know, when Nadab and Abihu failed to offer the sacrifice as God commanded, and they used strange fire, God killed them. But God is just as surely described and designated what my contribution is to be as it did the way they were to offer sacrifice. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. My spiritual sacrifice was to be liberal. It was to be cheerful, not grudgingly or of necessity, but out of a grateful heart, glad for the opportunity of giving. Is that the way that as a priest before God I drop my contribution in the basket this morning? If not, then I, as a priest, fail to sacrifice scripturally. And thereby, my spiritual sacrifice was not what God expected me to give. I ask you again now, what about your priesthood? What about your priestly work? Do you see the significance of being a priest and the opportunity? Think about the blessings of being a priest and having an open avenue to the throne of God and the opportunity of offering spiritual sacrifices in order that we might show the excellencies of His name. And that's what that 1 Peter 2 says, that as priests, that's what we're to be doing. As a priest before God, do I demonstrate the excellencies of God and help the world to see the greatness and the goodness and the love and the character of God? That's priestly work. Aren't you glad you're a priest tonight? As you leave here, may you never forget the fact that you are a priest as a Christian. And with that go with responsibilities, and I hope you marked every passage and will memorize every passage that I talked about tonight, and you'll go forth from here tonight functioning as a priest offering these spiritual sacrifices. If you're here tonight not a Christian, you cannot offer these sacrifices. Christ is not your high priest. He's a priest over the house of God, Hebrews 10:21. The house of God is the church of the living God, 1 Timothy 3:15. And if you're not in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, then you're not ready to offer a sacrifice. It's in Christ is the place where that priesthood is to function. Therefore, Galatians 3:26 reads, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus is location. Tells where. How is one in Christ by faith? "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Where there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:26-29. Would you not like tonight to enter into Christ if you're not there? And then leave here as a priest to offer spiritual sacrifices unto God.